from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines to conduct military exercise to curb militants. Two water bombing helicopters deployed to Palembang for Asian Games. Those are headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesia will hold a land patrol training exercise to expand the existing trilateral patrol mechanism with Malaysia and the Philippines around the Sulu Sea to curb the movement of Islamist militants. Indonesian Defense Minister Riamijar Riyakudu sat at a bilateral meeting with his Malaysian counterpart Muhammad Sabu on Saturday, June the 2nd in Singapore that the countries will hold at the training exercise after Idul Fitr at company level focusing on anti-guerrilla warfare, urban warfare and how to tackle snipers. Riamijar said the militants in southern Philippines were good marksmen and it was imperative for the three countries to overcome this issue to reduce casualties. He added the militants have good skills, so Indonesian military must also improve the skills of its soldiers and equip them with better rifles. The meeting held on the excellence of the 17th Asia Security Summit Shangri-La Dialogue in Singapore also served as an introductory meeting for Sabu, who was appointed defense minister following the shock May 9 victory of the former opposition coalition Pakatan Harapan, which toppled the long-running Barisan Nasional that had ruled Malaysia since its independence in 1957. In order to curb the spread of militants, Indonesia initiated the trilateral mechanism to conduct maritime and air patrols, which Riamijar said have been quite effective in reducing security threats. Indonesian Defense Minister Riamijar Riyakudu stressed the importance of recalibrating the security architecture of the Indonesia-Pacific region at the 2018 Shangri-La Dialogue Forum in Singapore on Saturday, June the 2nd. He said the recalibration was essential for the authorities to handle every threat and challenge in the region appropriately. It was the duty of leaders of every country to ensure the security of their citizens and realize the common good, the minister said in his speech. Riamijar said recalibration of the Indonesia-Pacific security architecture could begin by spreading the understanding that terrorism was not done by Islam, but in the name of Islam. The minister said Islamic countries are expected to provide enlightenment through mosque, television, radio, and social media about the threat of terror that uses Islam. They should also seek information about the activities and identities of those involved with terror groups such as ISIS in Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan. The Shangri-La Dialogue is a ministerial-level forum scheduled from June the 1st to the 3rd. Riamijar also met the U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis, the Singapore Defense Minister Ng Hand, and New Zealand's Defense Minister Ron Mark. Two additional water-bombing helicopters have been sent to Palembang, South Sumatra Province for anticipating wildfires during the 18th Asian Games that will be held from August 18 to September 2nd. Irianza, head of South Sumatra Disaster Mitigation Office, BPBD, said in Palembang, South Sumatra on Saturday that the two units of water-bombing helicopters are now being assembled in Palembang City, having capacity of 600 liters and 500 liters respectively. The helicopters will be operated to extinguish the wildfires and to conduct patrols at the fire-prone areas in South Sumatra. He said these two units of water-bombing helicopters are part of 10 additional units that will be used during the Asian Games. Besides the two units, four other helicopters have completely been assembled so they are ready for operation, he said, adding that those helicopters will play a critical role in extinguishing fires in isolated areas, mainly at peatland and forests. According to Irianza, his office is committed to preventing the wildfires and haze from occurring in accordance to the instruction of South Sumatra Governor Alex Nurdin. Besides South Sumatra, the authorities in Riau Province have also been committed to anticipating the wildfires by extending the emergency status last month. The Komodo National Park Office recorded that the United States was the main contributor of foreign tourists to Komodo Park from January to April 2018. Head of Subdivision of Administration of the Komodo National Park, Dwi Sugiarto, stated in Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara on Saturday that foreign tourist arrivals in the first quarter of 2018 were dominated by the United States with 3,078 visitors from the total figure of 27,550. Sugiarto pointed out that the countries that dominated tourist arrivals to Komodo during the January to April period were the United Kingdom with 2,952 visitors and Australia with 2,831 travelers, in addition to 2,364 German tourists, 1,386 Dutch, and 1,000 tourists from Italy. Sugiarto noted that the flow of tourists to Komodo Park, one of the 10 national flagship tourist destinations, was dominated by foreign tourists. According to him, the flow of tourists increased sharply as compared to the first quarter of 2017, in which only 38,147 people were recorded. This increase is supported by various intensive promotion efforts by relevant government agencies in the region, along with the central government and tourism business players. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Australian Consulate General to Bali synergized with Thrust Hero Kertalangu and Eco Bali Recycling held a clean-up movement in Biaung Beach, East Denpasar on Saturday, June the 2nd. Some 100 volunteers joined the mass cleanup. The cleanup movement was the first activity of Waste Wealth program that would last for a week in a bid to promote eco-friendly tourism destinations in Bali and West Nusa Tenggara. An Australian environmental artist, Dr. John Daslin, joined the event along with students of Indonesian Institute of the Arts, IC Denpasar. They plan to utilize the waste found in Bali beaches to produce arts during the workshop that would be displayed in Waste as Art event on Monday, June 4 at the university and on Tuesday, June 5 at Alila Seminyak Kuta, Bali. Australian Consul General to Bali, Dr. Helena Sturdert, said she believed there are creative and innovative ways to utilize the waste, because many ways could be reused, recycled, and remade into a valuable asset. Effie Hatch from Trash Hero Kertalangu expected the program would raise public awareness regarding waste in Bali beaches. She also added that the event will encourage people to collectively solve this issue. The volunteers were the presidents, village head of Kertalangu, and several environmental NGOs such as Trust Hero Sabah, Toltol, Dolly Hardliner, and Maludong. In the midst of the commotion about the demands of pilots and employees, the state-owned airline Garuda Indonesia ensures the flight service ahead of the 2018 8-day will run normally. The certainty is obtained from the commitment of the Garuda Indonesia Pilot Association, APG, and Garuda Indonesia Employees Union, Sekarga, to not strike in peak season. Garuda Indonesian President Director Pahala N. Mansuri, Saturday, June 2nd in Jakarta, said that the company also expressed appreciation to APG and Sekarga, which continue to prioritize the national interest. According to Pahala, APG and Sekarga management have been summoned by the Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Luhut B. Panjaitan, to not strike during peak season because it will disrupt public order and customer service. Pahala asked Garuda service users to remain calm and not to worry. All the crew and Garuda employees are also preparing to secure the flight operation in peak season or the peak of the holiday. Garuda Indonesia also welcomed the commitment and support by Luhut, especially in aligned the dynamics of industrial relations through the dialogue. According to Pahala, Garuda management has repeatedly opened the discussion to APG and Sekarga College. He noted there is no welfare issue of pilot and employees causing the plan of the strike. Indonesia's Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto has encouraged graduates of the Islamic Boarding School or Pesantren to become entrepreneurs to help the government create more jobs. Not so many of Pesantren graduates become civil servants, so the Ministry of Industry wanted to encourage them to be entrepreneurs. Airlangga said while visiting Al-Fatah Plus Islamic Boarding School in East Java district of Kediri on Saturday that the work was noble because it gave jobs to others. He added the Ministry of Industry has a program to encourage entrepreneurship to create strong entrepreneurs, and usually the most formidable entrepreneurs are of the Pesantren. They become good businessmen. The Industry Ministry was ready to facilitate and provide training to those who came forward, Airlangga said. For example, if someone was interested in the catering business, the ministry would provide training in catering or would help to set up units of producing bottled water. Airlangga said 2 weeks ago he had inaugurated a supermarket created by the Pesantren for the needs of students and the community. He also urged the Santri or Islamic boarding school students to be always eager to learn, because Indonesia was estimated in 2030 to become the world's seventh most advanced country. Well, listener, that was the news.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia, a regular segment which today is on Asian Games 2018 promotes domestic products. The grand event of Asian Games 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang, which will be held in August, is expected to provide great benefits to Indonesia. One of them is the direct economic impact on various sectors. Chairman of the 2018 Asian Games Organizing Committee, or INASGOC, Erick Thohir, explained that the 2018 Asian Games will provide legacy and bring a big positive impact for Indonesia in terms of economy. Based on the preliminary calculation of the National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, economic impact of visitors' expenditure during their stay in Indonesia for the Asian Games amounted to 3.6 trillion rupiahs, with 88% coming from the spectators and tourists, followed by athletes, media crew, officials, and volunteer expenditure. Accommodation is estimated to be the largest expenditure component that reaches 1.3 trillion rupiahs. Chairman of the INASGOC, Erick Thohir, in a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday said the expected visitor spending also included the purchase of the 2018 Asian Games official merchandise. Director of Merchandise of Asian Games 2018 Organizing Committee, Mohtar Sarman, said that the committee prioritized small and medium enterprises to become licensed official merchandiser. This is an effort in promoting domestic products to the world. The 2018 Asian Games Organizing Committee has selected 17 companies and national small and medium enterprises as licensors
to produce and sell the 2018 Asian Games official merchandise. Mokhtar explained 17 licensors had gone through a rigorous selection process related to the quality and originality of the product and the strength of the distribution network. In addition, the license holders must have the ability to absorb partners and empower the partners of small and medium enterprises and have good company credibility. On the merchandise design side, Chief Executive of Asian Games Eric Tohir explained that the whole products of the merchandise are the work of Indonesians. Through the Asian Games, Inasgok strives to make Indonesian producers and designers rise globally. Interestingly, Eric explained that there is no state expenditure budget fund that is used for merchandise production, since it is done by partners with a profit-sharing scheme. Currently, the 2018 Asian Games official merchandise has been sold on the official website of the 2018 Asian Games. More than 2,000 franchise shopping centers, online shopping portals, and official booths spread across several malls. Inasgok appealed to the people of Indonesia to always buy official merchandise because the proceeds from the sale will be directly submitted to the country. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Asian Games 2018 promotes domestic products. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with June the 3rd, 1947, the Indonesian National Military is established. The state of Indonesia, as its inception, did not have any unity of soldiers. The People's Security Service, or BKR, established on August 22, 1945, and announced by the President on August 23, 1945, is not an official military organization. Finally, through the government decision on October 5, 1945, to this day, is commemorated as the commemoration of the Indonesian military, BKR was changed to the People's Security Army. On January 7, 1946, the People's Security Army renamed the People's Salvation Army. Then, on January 26, 1946, changed again into the Army of the Republic of Indonesia. Because at that time, in Indonesia, there were other armed ranks besides the Army of the Republic of Indonesia. Then, on May 15, 1947, President Sukarno issued a decision to unite the armed forces of the Republic of Indonesia with other forces units into the Indonesian National Military, or TNI. The unification took place and was announced on June 3, 1947. Turning to June 3, 1980, tornado outbreak in Nebraska, USA. On June 3, 1980, known as the Night of the Twisters, there was a series of tornadoes that ravaged the Grand Island city of Nebraska. 7 tornadoes killed 5 people and injured 200 others. The overall tornado outbreak produced 18 tornadoes in 2 days and caused severe damage as far east as Pennsylvania. Over a 3-hour span on the night of June 3, 1980, a slow-moving tornado moved across the Grand Island. Nebraska gave birth to several tornadoes. The tornado outbreak that occurred was one of the most unusual in the history of the United States. Ah! I'll end today in history with June 3, 2017, terrorist attacks in London. On June 3, 2017, three people committed a terrorist attack at two locations in central London. The attack began when a white van crashed into several pedestrians on the London Bridge. The van drove and stopped south of the bridge. Three people left the van and ran to Borough Market, where stabbing attacks took place in several restaurants. Seven people were killed and 48 wounded in the attack. Three suspects were shot dead by police. The Metropolitan Police Department declared the London Bridge and Borough Market as a terrorist incident. Several explosions were later heard near Borough Market and were confirmed as controlled explosions. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's Spotlight. This time, it's on complete preparation for Lebaran holidays. Indonesian ministries and agencies are required to complete all preparations to welcome Idul Fitri or Lebaran holidays this year. Preparation is not limited to road facilities and infrastructure, but also the availability of transportation modes, fuel oil, basic materials or staples, and security before and during Lebaran. President Joko Widodo confirmed it in a limited meeting that discussed the preparation of Lebaran at the presidential office in Jakarta on Wednesday, May the 13th. In particular, the head of state addressed the readiness of the security apparatus. President also requested the synergy of the Indonesian National Police and Indonesian Armed Forces in preventing potential security disturbances during Ramadan and Lebaran holidays so that people can perform the worship in peace. In response to the president's directive, Police Chief Tito Karnavian, after the meeting, stated that ahead of the holiday and Lebaran homecoming tradition, the police are paying attention to criminal acts from terrorism to conventional crimes such as pickpockets, mugging and drugging, which often happen to travelers. The police have set up posts at the embankment, airports, terminals, and railway stations. Tito Karnavian said all the thugs have also been dealt with. On a separate occasion, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi urged people who want to go back to their hometown, as the tradition every year, to leave on Friday, June 8th, 7 days before Lebaran Day, which this year will fall on Friday, June the 15th. It is predicted that on Saturday to Sunday, from the 9th until 10th of June, homecoming flow is very high. Then on Monday and Tuesday, 11th to 12th of June, it will become ease out. Meanwhile, Minister of Public Works and Housing Basuki Hadimulyono said both toll roads and non-toll roads in Java and Sumatra are ready for public use. According to Budi, in Java there are three national road lanes, namely the north coast of Java Pantura, the middle cross lane, and the south Pansela beach of Java, which is 1,405 kilometers long. The total reached 3,943 kilometers, now is 90% ready and better than 2017. In addition to the national road, there are still toll roads from Jakarta to Surabaya, and in the eastern Sumatra, Basuki said almost the entire road is ready to pass. In addition, there are additional toll roads with a functional road length of 125 kilometers and an operational 120 kilometers. So that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Darat Pane. Indonesia will hold a land patrol training exercise to expand the existing trilateral patrol mechanism with Malaysia and the Philippines around the Sulu Sea to curb the movement of Islamist militants. Indonesian Defense Minister Riami Jarwiakudu stressed the importance of recalibrating the security architecture of the Indo-Pacific region at the 2018 Shangri-La Dialogue Forum in Singapore on Saturday. He said the recalibration was essential for the authorities to handle every threat and challenge in the region appropriately. Two additional water bombing helicopters have been sent to Palembang, South Sumatra Province, for anticipating wildfires during the 18 Asian Games that will be held from August 18 to September 2nd. Iriansa, head of South Sumatra Disaster Mitigation Office, said in Palembang that the two units of water bombing helicopters were now being assembled in Palembang City. The Komodo National Park Office recorded that the United States was the main contributor of foreign tourists to Komodo Park from January to April 2018. Head of the Subdivision of Administration of Komodo National Park, Dwi Sugarto, stated in Kupang, Nusa Tenggara on Saturday that foreign tourist arrivals in the first quarter of 2018 were dominated by the United States with 3,078 visitors. Australian Consulate General to Bali synergized with Trust Hero, Kertelangu and Eco Bali Recycling held a cleanup movement in Byaung Beach, Eastern Pasar on Saturday. Some 100 volunteers joined the mass cleanup. The cleanup movement was the first activity of Waste to Wealth program that would last for a week in a bid to promote eco-friendly tourism destination in Bali and West Nusa Tenggara. In the midst of the commotion about the demands of pilots and employees of state-owned airline Garuda Indonesia ensure the flight service ahead of 2018 8-day will run normally. The certainty is obtained from the commitment of the Garuda Indonesia Pilot Association and Garuda Indonesia Employees Union to not strike in the peak season. Indonesia's Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto has encouraged graduates of the Islamic boarding schools to become entrepreneurs to help the government create more jobs. Not so many of Pesantren graduates become civil servants, so the Ministry of Industry wanted to encourage them to be entrepreneurs. Well, listener, that was News in Brief.
listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, popular destinations, culture, and tradition. Today, I will introduce one of the tourist attractions in Medan, North Sumatra. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to this program via streaming at www.voinews.id. Kampung Madras or Kampung Kling is widely known as Little India in Medan, North Sumatra. And just like the Indian village elsewhere, Kampung Madras became an interesting cultural tourism destination in Medan. The existence of Kampung Kling strengthens the reputation of Medan as a multi-ethnic city in Indonesia, especially today. Kampung Kling is not only inhabited by people of Indian descendants, but also those from other tribes or ethnics who live in the area of Kampung Madras. Even so, the term Little India Medan is still attached to this village. The origin of Kampung Kling Medan can be traced back to the 19th century. At that time, many Tamil Indians were imported from their original country to work as laborers at Deli Tobacco Plantation around Medan. Plantation owners preferred to use imported labor from India because they were known to be hard workers and strong. As time went by, more Tamil Indians worked in Medan. In addition to working as plantation laborers, they also got jobs in the construction, and many also worked as traders. Kampung Kling in Medan has an area of 10 hectares. Formerly, this village was called by the name Patisah. Some people call this Kampung Kling by the name of Kampung Madras. The name Kampung Kling became the most popular designation in the community of Medan. Now, Kampung Kling in Medan is located around Zainul Arifin area. Initially, the streets in this area also used Indian names like Calcutta Road, Bombay Street, Ceylon Street, Madras, and others. But now there are many names were changed. Tourists who want to get to the location of Kampung Kling in Medan can use various means of transportation, but the interesting one is motorized three-wheeled vehicle known as becak motor. True to its origin, Kampung Kling is known as the center of Indian culture in the city of Medan. This village is an administrative area of Madras district. Here, tourists can see a lot of old buildings with typical Indian architecture. The best known places are Sri Mariamman Temple and Subramaniam Temple. In addition to the two temples, there is also a mosque named Gaudiya, which has a thick Indian architectural design. This is because the Tamil people who live in rural villages are not all Hindu, but also there are some Muslims. In addition to being a cultural tourist location, Kampung Kling in Medan can also be used as a place to hunt culinary typical of India, such as the famous Indian curry and martabak or chapati. You can also buy typical Indian outfit like dresses and accessories here. For tourists who want to feel the life in Kampung Kling, can stay at the inn or hotel in Kampung Kling with varying prices. The most interesting about the Kampung Kling in Medan, however, is the cultural blend between strong Indian and local culture there. Well, that ends today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kampung Kling in Medan, North Sumatra. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Mr. Lenny, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, tradition, places of interest, and also culinary. This edition explores the topic of preserving the sundial. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. In the past, clocks are still luxury accessory owned only by certain people. During the glory of Keraton Kasunanan Surakarta or the Palace of Surakarta, the Muslim community would find out the entry of prayer time through a tool called istiwa clock or sundial. Currently, the istiwa clock can still be found in the courtyard of the Great Mosque of the Surakarta Keraton or Palace, which is a legacy of King Pakubuwono XI, built in 1733 and became the pride of the city of Solo. Though located in the open, not many people know the existence of this istiwa clock. It is located on the left side of the mosque courtyard. Despite being 100 years old, its condition is still solid, clean, and well-groomed or well-maintained. Istiwa clock was placed on a sturdy wall and covered with clear transparent glass. Passing so people can freely see the ancient clock. This clock is made of copper plates bent until semicircular. On the surface, there are streaks of lines and timing figures. While a nail-shaped iron with a horizontal position leads to the north and south mounted above the basin. Abdul Bashir, a takmir or manager of the mosque, said the clock is still functioning optimally if the weather conditions are sunny. As for the zuhur prayer, according to Bashir, the precision level of the istiwa clocks as a determinant of the praying time is still trusted, but if the weather is cloudy, the clock is not working effectively. In addition to the Surakarta Palace, the istiwa clock can still be found and used elsewhere, such as at the Almina Pesantren or Muslim Boarding School in Semarang, Central Jawa. In the boarding school, istiwa clock are still maintained as a marker of prayer time for the students or people living in the boarding school and surrounding area. Dwi Sutoro, one of the board of the school, said because it is important for the Islamic boarding school to preserve this clock. At present, the clock is placed in the courtyard of Al Huda Mosque. Earlier, it has been moved several times because the original position did not get full sun due to buildings and shadow that block the sun sign. Now, this time marker is already in an ideal position to be used as its function. Towards the month of Ramadan, the inhabitants or the people living in the pesantren or boarding Islamic boarding school also the istiwa clock. Care should be done because the clock is in the open space without any protection at all, so it is easily affected by the sun or rain in the rainy season. In order for this readable time marker to be cleaned of dust, mildew, and other impure other substance that can damage the material of the clock. Member of the school board who mastered astronomy usually also check and clean up parts of the clock. Not only that, they also bring staff from the Ministry of Religious Affairs of Semarang Regency to test the accuracy of this clock. Thus, the time marker made of brass is still maintained and can function optimally. According to Dwi, maintaining and preserving the use of this istiwa clock is not without reason. The time difference is still possible in analog clocks in minutes, he said. Well, that was today's miscellany featuring Preserving the Sundial over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Edward Kusalik in Canada. In his email, Mr. Edward Kusalik complained because his reception report to VOI, especially to the German section, dated December 14, 2017, where he was listening to true frequency of 9521 kHz at 1800 hours to 1833 hours UTC, has never been replied. Hello Mr. Edward Kusalik, we are really sorry for your inconvenience. It is because we received so many emails and letters from our regular listeners throughout the world. But you do not have to worry because your email has been forwarded to the German section. Please wait for the reply. As information for you and other listeners, since January 1st, 2018, Voice of Indonesia has broadcasted on voinews.id. And if you want to send your email, you can send it to voi@voinews.id. We change our website's address is for listener satisfaction. Thank you. Well, Mr. Edward Kusalik, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. Special for you, Mr. Edward Kusalik, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Jantungku berdebar tiap ku ingat padamu. Sani, kabarmu, kabarku baik-baik saja Sani, Sani. Begitu banyak cerita tak habis tentang Sani, Sani. Salamku untukmu dari hati yang terdalam. Kau tak sempat tanyakan aku, cintakah aku padamu? Tiap
listener, now we will reply an email from Mr. Baikan Hazarika in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English program on April 13, 2018 at 13:25 UTC. At that time, he listened to one of our segments, Indonesian Wonder, which presented Dongkal Cake, a traditional cake from Betawi. Hello, Mr. Baikan Hazarika. Thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. Indonesia has so many kinds of traditional foods. Through our broadcast, we try to introduce Indonesian traditional foods so our listeners can know them well. And if someday our listeners visit Indonesia, hopefully you have known what kinds of food to be taste. Special for you and our other regular listeners will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Bisa menebak, ku tak bisa membaca tentang kamu, tentang kamu. Kau buatku bertanya, selalu dalam hatiku tentang kamu. Tentang kamu.
To listeners' mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a letter from Dildar Ahmed Lagari in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Dildar Ahmed Lagari. Thank you very much for your compliment on our country. Indonesian people are majority Muslims. Because of that, there are many designers of Muslim fashion. One of them is Dian Pelangi, who is well known not only in Indonesia but also abroad. And we have also shopping centers with special sell Muslim fashion, namely Tanah Abang Market. Tanah Abang Market is located at the Kelurahan Kebon Kacang. The market has been known to exist since 1735. Tanah Abang Market is the main textile trade in Indonesia and the biggest in Southeast Asia. Other market areas, Block A and Block B, were added to the area in 2005 and 2010. Block A is the biggest among others with 160,000 square meter with almost 8,000 kiosks. It's visited about 80,000 buyers in busy days with transaction about 500 billion rupiah or $43 million per day and has well known in Africa and Middle East. Well, Mr. Dildar Ahmed Lagari, hopefully our information can be useful for you. So, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, we'll play a beautiful song.
Kekasihku, sayangku, ku ingin kau tahu. Hati ini kan selalu menantikan cintamu. Kaulah yang pertama yang memberi arti cinta untuk selamanya tetap di hati.
ku kan selalu merindukanmu, ku kan tetap selalu menjagamu. Jangan ada kata berpisah. Pegang erat janjiku, yakinkan di hatimu.
Selalu untukku.
Tak akan ku berpaling, hanya kau satu di hatiku. Sampingmu, tak ku biarkan kau jauh. Tuk selamanya ku tetap di hatimu.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.